Alrighty, it's Joel Radio, everybody. How you doing? Joel Radio, Corey Hall, sitting across from me. A podcast guaranteed to have more scoring than the Super Bowl.
Whoa,
it's Joel Radio. Welcome in, everybody. You know,
I scored more in high school, and I didn't score in high school.
The Lions have defeated the Super Bowl champions, which is true.
Well, it's funny because they beat the Patriots, and they came real close to beating the Rams.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome into the show, everybody. We got a good one for you. We're going to break down the Super Bowl, but as Corey said when he got to the studio today, I got 3 minutes on the Super Bowl. Because it wasn't very good. But we're going to talk about the commercials. We'll talk about the halftime show. Yeah, the game sucked, but we'll talk about all those things. And I don't know. Whatever else is going on. It's people were so angry.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was anger mixed with just, boy, I'm just turning this off and this sucks and I don't give a shit. I mean, in a way, you could argue that the game was good, though, because it was close. I mean, it did go down to the last minute of the game, but, you know, I don't know. There's also the family that was in what town in California outside L.A. that was having their Super Bowl party, and a plane fell on them and killed them all.
What?
That's a true story. You can look that up.
Oh, I missed this.
Yeah, it happened. It's an actual, a Cessna fell out of the sky. Or the engine fell out, the plane landed somewhere else, and the pilot died. But, like, four people were killed in a house as they watched the Super Bowl. Probably Rams fans, as you can imagine.
Which,
at least they were spared the loss.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah.
I'm trying to find a joke in this bit, but this is not... How did I miss that?
Because it...
You know why? Because everybody was talking about Maroon 5.
Yeah, Adam Levine took his shirt off. No wonder no
Adam
one's
Levine
reporting
coverage.
Me. Well... I'm Googling this.
I gotta say, this is the most trash Super Bowl I've ever... I mean, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of Super Bowl... It doesn't happen as much as anymore where it's just one team clobbers the other one.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a year where the 49ers just beat the Chargers like a rented mule?
Sure.
And just, you know.
I'm trying to find exactly where this is. Yorba Linda, California.
Yorba Linda, yeah. That's
it's a little north.
Inland
it's,
Empire. That's where that's where Richard Nixon was from.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of north and east of the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it is still Southern California. But
wow.
Well, it's actually southeast of that. It's just northeast of Anaheim.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it says five die as plane crashes into home. Oh, actually, okay, it says this guy, let's see, a twin-engine plane broke apart and crashed, setting a home on fire in the suburb of Yorba Linda, killing five people and injuring two. Let's see here. Four people on the ground who died while in the house that burned. The pilot was also killed. He was the only person on the plane. The debris spanned four blocks. And so the plane was breaking up as it crashed into this house. The photos are absolutely awful. It looks like a nice house, too.
Oh, my God.
Just... And, yeah, it's crazy.
Now, was this before or after the halftime show?
Because I'm not sure
it could
when...
be an act of mercy.
I'm not sure when this was. Unconfirmed reports that the pilot was Adam Levine's father.
Oh, my God.
Unconfirmed. Unconfirmed.
Oh, jeez.
No, I don't know. It sounds awful. I mean, who the fuck wants
Maroon 5? Yeah, it sounds awful.
No, it did sound awful.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the... I have the webpage about the Twitter reaction to the halftime.
Now,
Should I read that?
So I didn't see... I was in the car driving to the Super Bowl party.
Okay.
I deliberately timed it to get there at like 6:35. I'm like,
okay,
I don't want to
so
see... I didn't want to see any pregame. I didn't want to see...
Well, there was two girls...
Was Gladys Knight sang the anthem?
She sang the anthem. Two girls... I don't even know who they are. I guess they're from Atlanta. No, but they're from Atlanta. They sang America the Beautiful. It was fine. There was nothing. Well, the thing you missed that was interesting, and they did this
more than once. Chris Collinsworth sang Feliz Navidad.
He did not do that. Troy Aikman and Troy Romo sang YMCA. It was amazing. Yeah. But here's the thing. They did a so the coin toss
Troy Romo
was like Tony Romo and Troy Aikman. Yeah. Cowboys quarterbacks. Always homo rumors about the Cowboy quarterbacks.
I don't
know about the guy, current guy.
Well, you know what they say about Texas. There's only two things they got down there.
What's those, Corey? Yeah, all right. So, but they did this thing where, like, the children of Martin Luther King did the coin toss. And, like, the NFL was going leaning real hard into, like, Black History Month.
Well, because they were like, and, remember when we banned a guy from the league for protesting?
You know.
Remember how we were like, we had third string fucking shitheel backup quarterbacks so that we wouldn't give this guy a job over?
Well, that, okay, here's the, that dude lost, he won.
How Nathan Peterman got like five starts in the league this year?
He won.
Over.
Okay, in his final season, he lost the starting job in, so we're talking about Colin Kaepernick. He lost the job in preseason.
Yeah.
He was brought in week six because the team, I think, was 0-6 at that point, or 0-5, week six. He rallied to have the Niners win one game,
right,
and then opted out of an optional contract with the Niners, meaning he voluntarily left the Niners looking for a higher paying gig after winning one game as a starter in the Niners. It's not like crazy he's not good enough to play in the league.
I don't think Colin Kaepernick deserved to be blackballed. That's a bad word, but I mean, didn't deserve to be ostracized for having an opinion.
Black nutted, Corey.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, I mean, I thought the people that were booing, you know, I went to a game last year and guys were booing during the anthem. All the MAGA hat guys, I don't support any of that.
No.
But I had to argue with people all the time about Colin Kaepernick wants too much money for not enough
He's not that good, yeah. He's not that good.
And he's not that great a quarterback.
He's not that good, yeah.
And also, he's a quarterback who you have to change your system for.
Right.
He's not like a typical drop-back passer. He doesn't have a big gun of an arm. He's a scramble guy. You got to do option.
Yes.
All this stuff. So it's a bad fit for a lot of teams.
It's a bad fit
he's
for almost every
declining
team.
Skills.
That style of quarterback is sort of out now, seemingly, right? I mean, it seems like everybody wanted a Michael Vick, a Randall Cunningham type guy, and he was that, and now the league doesn't really do that all that much. Well, we're going to get some breaking analysis.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, should I not?
No, yeah, go ahead.
All right, Sal D'Amelio, welcome in.
Hey, guys.
Sal D'Amelio.
Our football handicapper.
How you doing, Sal? Everything good?
I'm doing good, Joel. It's good hear you guys' voice. How are you guys doing?
I'm trying to determine how much Sal lost on the Super Bowl based on the tone of his voice, and it sounded like he bet the under. I don't know, Sal. Am I right on that or no?
No, I did not bet the under. I lost. I had a two-team I had a two-team teaser with New England and the over, so that did not hit, but I won the over 110 seconds in the national anthem.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
All right.
Now, the controversy on that is that Gladys Knight said brave twice at the end
of
the anthem.
I love it.
And had she only said brave once, it would have been the under. But since she said brave twice, it was the over.
I just went out and bought a Gladys Knight CD
her. Congratulations.
How'd you like to be the guy that
had
the double zero squares?
Well,
at
there's
the end
that.
Of the, first
the double
half.
Zero square was a hit. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, that's right. Did not hit any squares. I had horrible numbers.
Yeah, first of all, don't insult Sal with baby betting like squares, Corey.
Oh, yeah.
This
yeah.
is a hardcore guy.
No.
But he had a.
You're doing prop bets.
Listen, he had prop bets. Listen, Corey, he had a three. This is the three bet tees that Sal had, okay?
Okay.
He had the under, he had tails in the coin toss, and he said that the first pass would be thrown to the right and would be intercepted.
Did you have
and he didn't convert
did you have
on that
Tony
one.
Romo will call the defense appropriately in the first, you know.
Hey, I didn't put this bet in, but I swear I had it right. I said the blue Gatorade would get dumped on.
Oh, look at you. Look, he's a savant.
I got that one right, but I didn't bet it. Damn.
But, I mean, was this then a good game for bettors or a bad game?
No, actually, I really didn't have that much action on it, but I saw a really big bookie where the bar where it was I was at. And he said that he lost. I mean, he's got hundreds and hundreds of bettors through him.
Yeah.
But he said he lost about 40 grand because everybody took New England. Everybody took New England.
Yeah, I don't think anybody took the Rams, which is crazy because the Rams were like, what, 13-2 or something?
Yeah.
Like three? Or
yeah. Yeah, they're a good team, man. I mean, you know what? That game could have, you know, that guy catches that one touchdown. It's a whole new game. You know, the Rams guy, he kind of dropped the touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Pass.
Yeah. Cooks had the touchdown.
Well,
You know, that gets caught there. They're up, 7-3. So, you know.
I mean, it was ridiculous, though, because the Rams put up like 35 points a game all year.
Yeah.
They were this juggernaut offense, mm-hmm. and they couldn't make a first down. It was, like, ridiculous.
Well, I was texting my buddies, a couple of buddies of mine during the game, and I said, why are the Rams going so slow? Why are they getting these big plays, and then they get in a huddle, and they huddle up? Go up to the line and run another play.
Mm. That's how they played all year, by the way, was, like...
Exactly. And the Chiefs did it in the fourth quarter of the last game.
Well,
so
hey, it's a fix. The fix is in. So.
I'm telling you, I know we're all couch potato coaches and quarterbacks, but I'm telling you, I could have been the offensive coordinator for the Rams yesterday.
Well, you would have done just as well as they did.
It was amazing because I had a bunch of Rams players in my fantasy league, so I watched them like all year.
Yeah.
And they went away from the things that they did well.
Yeah, they couldn't run the ball at all.
You know, all year long they would run like underneath slant routes, and they were not throwing those. It was just amazing.
I guess Gurley wasn't healthy, but in that third quarter when he had a little like 5-6 runs in a row, he looked good to me. I don't know why the whole thing was baffling.
It was just baffling. And the Patriots sucked in the first half too. The Rams defense was getting to them.
Yeah.
Well. Exactly. That's what I mean. It could have been anybody's game in that quarter. I mean,
The game was probably. I mean, you could argue it was a better Super Bowl than some because at least it went down to the wire. But I mean, there just was not much happening.
I've said this before. I think I said it on your podcast last time I was on. You know, Brady's he's going to be now the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's got to be.
But I've said this all along. He's also the luckiest freaking guy I've ever seen in sports. I'm not kidding you, man.
Well, he probably
that guy
is.
He gets lucky bounces, and his kickers make the field goals instead of hitting crossbars. And, you know, that field goal could have easily hit the crossbar. Yeah. It barely got in.
Yeah.
Barely got
and
in.
And he missed one earlier. He missed
the shorter
the bet the same length. So, yeah, it was it was not a great football game. We're going to talk about
what you guys think about the halftime show.
Well, it was horrible, but we'll talk about that when we have.
I wish they'd worn masks. That would have been better.
You wouldn't know who was singing, and then at the end,
I got a confession that I'm probably going to get. You know, I can't run for office now.
Oh my God!
I thought it was. I thought when I saw the car roll up, I thought it was Kanye at first.
Oh, okay.
I thought Adam Levine's part was good, right? I mean, he picked the right songs to sing.
I mean,
but I'm saying I confused. I thought it was Kanye, and then it was Big Boy from Outkast.
Well, he was announced. I mean, it wasn't. There was no like mystery singer that showed up.
I actively avoided news about the halftime show.
Yeah,
this
that's
year.
They said it was going to be Maroon 5 with Travis Scott and Big Boy.
Okay.
But the way
it wouldn't have mattered to me. I was in the bathroom looking at the second half lines at that point.
Oh, man. Big Boy could have had the donkey from Braised Hamburgers the way that game went. I mean, Jesus.
Oh my God. Well, I guess the whole Super Bowl in general, I guess, was kind of a dud. I mean, the football game was kind of boring.
They said the ratings were down.
Kind of boring.
I did have the square that the Bud Light night was going to be killed.
Oh my God.
That was maybe the highlight of the whole show.
Okay. I've hated that campaign since they started it, which I think was the last Super Bowl. So
you sure?
Well, I didn't really see any of the commercials. I mean, I just kind of didn't pay attention. They didn't look like they were great this year.
No.
Well, I'm going to go through. Some websites have made lists of the best ones.
I'll listen to these guys. They were bad.
You can listen to that. But
oh,
all right, Sal. So some comedy. You just worked with Corey over the weekend.
Well, no, we worked opposite
nights. Oh, you worked
nights.
Opposite nights. Yeah. You guys weren't booked together.
Yes.
You guys... Yeah, okay. But this weekend, tell everybody where you're going to be this coming up weekend here.
This weekend I'm at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle here. That's Thursday through Saturday with Chris Young and Don Friesen, Chicago comic that I'm looking forward to meeting, man. I'm friends with him on Facebook, but I've never worked with him.
Yeah, Don's funny.
I followed his career, a great career.
Yeah.
Opened up for Sinatra back in the day, and shit, this guy's done it all. So
that's the number one credit for Sal. That's the top guinea credit is opening for Sinatra.
It is. I don't care if he's got an Oscar. If he opened up for Sinatra,
I hate to I hate to promote another podcast, but Brad Garrett. Get to yours in a minute. Brad Garrett was on Mark Maron WTF this week or
A couple weeks ago, a couple shows ago.
Yeah, recently in the last couple episodes, and he talked about opening for Sinatra.
Yes.
And how I don't want to blow the whole bit, but apparently he made a joke they didn't like.
Yeah.
And the next night.
The next night,
Tom Dreesen was opening for Sinatra.
And he
was
Jilly pulled him aside.
Right. And he was in Reno with Liza. So that's a good, if you want to hear some Sinatra bits, that's a pretty good, and I thought it was.
That's awesome, man.
Brad Garrett, I didn't really know a lot about his career, so it was an interesting.
He and
Marin
well.
Are like very different styles of guy, but they got along. And it was fine. Listen to that.
All right, Sal.
Yeah,
well,
I got to listen to that. Man.
All right. Well, I'll
what else can we listen to?
You guys know about my podcast. I got the Sal and Bob show. I do it with Bob Phillips.
Yes.
And it's just a lot of fun, man. So if your listeners
had great
kind of
guests
around podcasts.
You've had great guests on that show, like me.
Yeah, Corey was on there.
We've had Corey Hall, and we will have, very soon, Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline is going to be on the show.
Josh Mankiewicz. There you go.
So, yeah.
It's all right. I'm going to look for the invite in my mail. I'm going to go. I don't really go through my mail.
Joe, you know we won't.
No, it's fine. I'm sure it just got lost. You know, they didn't deliver mail for the 3 days last week because it was negative 12. But it's all right. I'm sure it's in there.
When are we doing
I'm
the?
Sure, it's in there.
When are we doing
I'm sure the invites in there?
When are we doing the Clausen Steakhouse? When are we going to do the? Which is
that's the one we'll do with Joel.
That's one of the great old man.
Let's go seriously, Joel. We'll go over there. That'd be hilarious.
They haven't changed one thing in there since 1978.
Yeah, you'll see some Sinatra on a Friday night there. But all right, Sal.
Let's do that.
All right, bud.
Hey guys, always a pleasure to call in, man. You guys are awesome.
Sal and Bob show.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Sal, hope you make some money.
Bob, SalDemilio.com for my tour schedule. SallyD08 on Twitter. Let's get it done.
All right. I hope you make some money back on the NCAA tournament.
I'll talk to you guys.
Sal will
later,
be standing by a payphone calling his bookie in the middle of March Madness. You can look for him there.
I got the Richmond Spiders by 5.
All right. Sal.
What's Marquette ranked?
I'll see you guys later, man. Later. Later.
I'm not sure how. All right, Sal. There he is.
The great Salvatore D'Amelio. There you go. Always fun.
So they had the King family, and then they also, like, I think it going into halftime or somewhere, they did a thing where, like, Goodell took a walking civil rights tour of Atlanta, and it's kind of they are just laying that shit on thick.
You know, we were intentionally kind of at the, you know, I just went to a little party with a couple of guys from my fantasy league, and we were really aggressively not paying attention during the commercials, kind of like just bullshitting around, there was a point where there was a shot of, like, up in the booth, up in the suites.
Yeah.
And it was, like, Bob Kraft and Goodell and Jeff Bezos. And I'm just like, why didn't that Cessna land here?
Well,
like, this is the biggest conglomeration of self-satisfied assholes.
Well, it's like the supervillains have all gathered.
Was Howard Schultz in there from Starbucks? We got to talk about that guy in a minute.
Well, all right. So let's stay on Super Bowl here. Let's go through the halftime show because I want to just read these reactions because, you know, if you haven't seen these are just very various people on Twitter. This is an article on Mashable that you can look up here. But here's somebody's theory. They made the halftime bad in order to make the game look by comparison. Let's see.
In defense of Maroon 5 for a minute, which I'm not loath to do.
Yes.
We've seen worse, right?
Yes.
Remember, there wasn't the Black Eyed Peas halftime show?
There was a Black Eyed Peas.
Horrible.
There was Katy Perry.
Katy Perry does, like...
People liked... I mean, the ones that I remember people
didn't
really...
Didn't she come out on a giant lion or something?
Yeah, the ones that people really liked were Lady Gaga, and they liked the Motown Funk guy. What's his name?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars, they really liked. And otherwise, you go, well, like, well, Katy Perry was good, but
Prince,
you don't like.
That was a
well,
long time
we're
ago.
Going back a little deeper to where. Because they what happened was they burned through all the classic rock guys.
Right.
Or who, what they did is they.
Who
they,
did it?
Well, no. The Stones and McCartney and Springsteen all did it, and they're kind of like. But what they did is they got rid of the contemporary acts after the Janet Jackson titty thing.
Yeah.
And then they started bringing on the old guys because they
Paul
knew.
Paul McCartney's not going to whip a titty.
You're not going to see Roger Daltrey's dong. So, you know,
well, you could.
Let's do that. I may see that live. I'm going to The Who for the first time in May. Anyway, if they can live till May 28th, I will see the remaining two members of The Who in concert. But anyway, let me just read some of these. My favorite one here is the halftime show sounded like the playlist at Chili's, which is good because even the big boys, I Like the Way You Move is like a really lame hip hop song. Adam Levine's body looked like the vision board or a bro who owns a vape shop. Maroon 5 is the Howard Schultz of bands. Adam Levine looks like if Target designed a rock star. Maroon 5, if you're listening to us, you're giving up. Yeah, so that was some of the...
Speaking of...
The Onions had a great headline.
Yeah.
A halftime show marred by functional sound system.
The Onion was killing it.
Onion's always good.
The Onion was like controversial puppy bowl star shits on the 50-yard line.
I watched some puppy bowl.
Oh, God.
They're kind of going crazy with the puppy bowl, though. And I think they realize, like, the puppy bowl, people watch one segment, and it's like a two-hour thing, and people don't really want to watch after that.
We were talking about gay quarterbacks and the Cowboys.
Okay, yeah.
Did you see what they just did this week?
The Cowboys?
Yeah.
No, what
you know
they
who
did?
They hired?
Who'd they hire?
Their new quarterbacks coach.
Oh, boy.
John Kitty Kitna.
Oh.
And Kitna's working under former Lion Kellen Moore.
What, is he the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were like, let's hire two... Shit Lions quarterbacks.
Well, you know, the Cowboys are, like, they get to a certain level. Like, they're probably a better team consistently than most teams.
Yeah.
But they never really have a great team.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Cowboys for you. All right. And what else were we going to talk about here?
Man.
Okay. So let's go into the commercials then, because I think we're done with the game. You tell me if you saw these and if they were good. We talked about the Game of Thrones dragon kills the Bud Light.
This was the best commercial of the night for me.
You think so? Just because you hate that night and Dilly Dilly and all that stuff is stupid?
It showed a little self-effacing humor.
Yeah, okay.
Bud Light was like, I will only drink a Bud Light under, forced circumstances where, like...
If you go to a party, that's
I'm
all that's there.
I'm on a gig somewhere, and that's all they have, or whatever. I'm on a tarmac, or I'm in the Arctic Circle. I don't know where...
Right.
But I would never order a Bud Light. Someone might hand me a Bud Light or something at a party. Yeah. So I don't care. But their whole dilly-dilly shit...
Okay.
Which has been their campaign for about a year and a half, right?
Okay.
They pretty much extinguished that with... the Game of Thrones guys coming in and killing them.
Okay.
Which I thought was funny.
And Game of Thrones is going to be back on HBO
soon. So it was both a plug for Game of Thrones.
All right. T-Mobile did a series of ads where people were texting and having funny texts back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Did you see any of those?
Yeah, I really was very peripherally hooked in this.
Okay. Game. Basically, the girlfriend says, what should we get for dinner? And then you see the husband or, you know, the boyfriend like saying, hey, let's get this, and then, hey, let's get this, and then eventually going, hey, let's get whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that was kind of like, and they did a series of those. They did a few of those. Jordan Peele is doing a new Twilight Zone for All Access. I mean, my feeling is they've tried rebooting the Twilight Zone over and over, and it doesn't work. Now, look, there'll be some of those that'll be good, and some of those that'll be lousy, but the Twilight Zone is remembered. There are certain Twilight Zones that everybody knows.
Right.
And then there's some that people don't know at all. When they put those replays on, there's only certain ones that really get replayed because some of them don't make the cut because they're not that good. And plus, I think the Twilight Zone was a reaction to the Cold War in a lot of ways, and that doesn't exist anymore, at least. We have other fears.
It's of its time.
But
it's,
Black Mirror is kind of hitting with modern fears of technology and you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know that Jordan Peele's the guy I'd pick either to be the face of this thing.
I'll certainly take a look.
Yeah, because I feel like Twilight Zone fans are not fans of Get Out or Key and Peele.
Well,
and I also feel like the Key and Peele fans may go like Twilight Zone's for Old Men.
Here's the problem. It's Jordan Poole did one movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he was known as a sketch comedian.
Yes.
Then he does one movie with, it's kind of a horror comedy.
Right.
It's not even really a straight horror movie.
I mean, it's a movie that Marlon Wayans could have very well been starring in a decade ago.
And I'm not, I mean, I liked Get Out just fine.
Yeah,
but
it was
like,
okay.
It was overhyped.
Like, it was completely overhyped.
Like everything in life is now hyped. Yeah. So I'll definitely watch it, but you're right. I think Black Mirror has stepped into the space that Twilight Zone occupied in terms of being a commentary on modern cultural issues.
Do you have CBS All Access or have you not? All right, well, that's what it's going to be.
I have abstained.
All right. Well,
I am a Trek fan.
Maybe it's time April 1st then, because you can get your Twilight Zones and your Treks.
I might have to binge watch all the Trek, but people hate that Trek show.
Oh, do they? Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of that.
The Trek fans are mad at it. They like the Orville better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I've heard people like Orville. I know that's a thing.
I like the Orville. Okay. It's weird. It's the Orville, like everybody goes, oh, it's Seth MacFarlane. It's about 50% less jokey than you think it's going to be.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like they really kind of treat it like straight up Star Trek, and then the characters are still human people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
okay, yeah.
The characters kind of behave like modern humans, so that's where the jokes come from. Oh, but okay. It's not as shticky as you think. Anyway, I'll give the Twilight Zone a watch, but
give me Spaced. That's what I'm watching.
Well, I've watched the Spaced shit out of Spaced. Spaced. Yeah.
All right, Stella Artois had a Sarah Jessica Parker.
Give me Daisy from Spaced. Good, right up on that business. All right.
So Sarah Jessica Parker and the dude. You know, so Sarah Jessica Parker doing her Sex and the City shtick.
Well, this was already
and
blown
the dude,
before the show.
Yeah,
Super Bowl.
I know, because people were wondering, like, are they making another Lebowski because Jeff Bridges was walking around as the dude. But he won't get a White Russian. Instead, he gets a Stella Artois.
Artois. He
a Stella Artois.
Dana Carvey was on Conan's podcast, and he said the key to doing Jeff Bridges in 2019 is to be like, act like you just ate a big meal.
I just ate about 6 pounds of pulled pork, and I had some ribs. And,
he is kind of big.
Mashed potatoes.
He's kind of playing the same guy in everything.
Yeah, and it's just this thing.
Well, there was Bad Times at the El Royale. I just saw that.
He did that bit.
Now,
it's a good bit, but you know.
But yeah, I don't care about Sex and the City or Lebowski, so that didn't really work for me. Okay, the best one was the NFL 100-year commercial. Did you see this? This was right at halftime.
And all the guys were clowning around.
Right, but one thing, my girlfriend she liked it, but she didn't get the references to like Franco Harris and the Immaculate Reception because she just doesn't know the football.
The Miami Dolphins, the 72
those
Dolphins
idiots.
Were sitting there.
Yeah. But I think I liked that everybody was poking fun at themselves, and I thought they did a really good job with that. So that was kind of my favorite one of the year of the thing. Let's see. The movie stuff, we'll talk about the Avengers one, but I thought the movie trailers all kind of sucks.
Before we get to those, the other big commercial that baffled everybody.
Well, I'm getting to more, but okay.
Oh.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go. Well, right.
I'm reading this thing.
Sorry.
If I don't get to yours, throw it in the air. Right. What did you think of the Avengers spot? I feel like they're afraid to reveal too much because
I think
the guys are dead.
I got to say, I missed the Avengers spot.
This was probably right before kickoff or right after
kickoff.
Oh,
maybe I missed it. I saw the Captain Marvel.
I didn't see the Captain Marvel because I think that was on.
And the Captain Marvel, by the way, had like a tiny bit of footage that we haven't seen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the same stuff.
Right.
We didn't get anything.
And the Toy Story was like just a bit from the movie. It wasn't like you didn't know what the plot of Toy Story was going to be.
Right.
So I thought the Avengers one. I mean, look, it's out in like 8 weeks or something, 9, 10 weeks. So it's not that far away. John Legend sang to his stinky booty kid for Pampers.
Mm-hmm.
Not funny. Again, John Legend. He's one of America's great comedians. He joins Justin Timberlake now.
We've talked about this before, right?
John Hamm, America's greatest comedian.
I foolishly,
yeah,
having I don't know what it is, a developed sense of humor and taste and a personality, questioned why Chrissy fucking Teigen.
She's in the commercial as well.
I hate it. I can't stand.
Well,
John Legend is like the giant suckbag of mediocrity to me. I think he's like the John Denver of black people. I really can't stand him.
I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. The funniest person who ever lived. I'm going to give you
Okay,
Charlie Chaplin.
Okay.
Okay, Groucho Marx.
Yeah.
Woody Allen.
Uh-huh.
Howard Stern or Chrissy Teigen, and you're a 28-year-old woman. Go.
Groucho Marx.
You're a 28-year-old woman. You're going to say Chrissy Teigen.
Well, look, you know,
nobody's funnier.
We know the funniest people in Hollywood are The Rock.
It's The Rock.
Justin Timberlake.
Jimmy Fallon.
Chrissy Teigen.
Apparently not John Legend.
John Legend is for people who don't have fucking taste.
Michael Bublé.
Ray Charles song. Any Ray Charles song.
No,
listen to John Legend.
Josh Groban is the funniest man in America.
Oh, he's a fucking hoot.
That show blew. I'm sorry. That Tony Danza thing was not good. I don't care.
Oh,
the Netflix mystery show.
I hate to tell you that Tony Danza, maybe not the best talent.
Okay. Andy Warhol ate a Burger
King.
There
you go. All right.
Now, this was in an experimental film from the 80s, so it's actually real. It's not CGI.
Now, it's a 4.5-minute clip.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
I'm aware of it. I don't know that I've ever gone out of my way to watch this clip of Andy Warhol.
Burger King was like, we can't afford to buy 4 minutes of Super Bowl time.
Okay, yeah.
But there is a 4-minute clip.
Yeah, it's from a movie. It's from an actual film.
And
yes.
Much like Andy Warhol, it goes on too long and makes no point.
Yeah.
But I kind of was like, that was the only thing that was exciting to me in the whole Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a weird thing. And for a lot of people, they're like, oh, man, they really made that guy look like Andy Warhol and stuff. And you're like, no, this is really Andy Warhol. He really did this. And
what's weird is that I'm like, speaking of 28-year-olds not knowing who the fuck that was.
Yeah.
I mean, Warhol died in the late 80s, right? So
maybe early 90s, but yes.
I mean, like, no one knew. But I got to say, it was the most perfect commentary on the utter worthlessness of the Super Bowl and commercial culture.
Yeah, you could argue that Andy would have loved this.
Yeah.
As much as people are going, oh, Andy Warhol will never do that. And it's like, Andy Warhol fucking put soup cans on display. You know, I mean,
of Andy Warhol's art was a commentary on the valuelessness of commercial culture.
So, you know,
so he made a commercial. Yeah. I mean, he didn't know he was making a commercial when he did it in like 1983 or whatever the fuck they did this, right?
It was like a guy said, send me video postcards. And he asked all of these famous people to record these little things. He edited them all together to make this experimental film, and this is what Andy sent in.
It's like he eats this Whopper like he's never seen a hamburger before.
Yeah. Well, he dips it in Heinz ketchup, which I know Andy's from Pittsburgh. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But anyway, so that was the Andy Warhol thing. I thought
that was very effective in terms of like being a meta commentary on how shitty commercials are.
Right. And whatever that cost, if Burger King would have made some funny commercial with, celebrities in it.
The king.
Yeah, if they would have put Mindy Kaling eating Burger King, it would have cost them $1 million. So, the Washington Post did a thing about the press. It was okay. Very self, It had Jamal Khashoggi in it. All right, so that was this article. Let me go over to this one, see if there's things we haven't covered.
Harrison Ford was schmucking
around. I thought that was kind of Harrison Ford and his dog, who could order dog food with Alexa. Steve Carell and Cardi B for Pepsi. Corey,
the best part about that commercial,
if you
play it,
I'm not going to, but the people.
One
can.
Of the extras in that fucking Pepsi commercial.
Oh,
the guy sitting at the diner. And by the way, I don't know which one that is. If that's Bob's Big Boy or
it looked like Bob's. It looked like what's the other place in the Mel's Diner. It looked like Mel's Diner.
Well, L.A. is resplendent in mid-century diners.
There could have been any of those.
There's a lot of those out there that are.
And there could be one on a back lot, too, for all we know. But anyway.
Yeah, but I don't know which specifically. But there's a lot of those, like the one from Pulp Fiction and all that shit.
Yeah.
In the background of this goddamn Pepsi commercial with Steve Carell is the star of High Fidelity, Todd Luizo.
Okay.
Is just sitting there.
Is he there? Like, do you think the director knows him or something? Or
I was just like,
yeah, I don't know.
This used to be an actor, though. Yeah, this guy used to get like speaking parts, and now he's just sitting here.
But isn't the conceit of that like when the waitress says, "I'll have a Pepsi," and they say, "Is Coke okay?" and you say, "No." Yeah. It's sort of like taking the piss out of Coke because people go, "I'll take a Coke," and people go, "Is Pepsi okay?" That's generally how it works, and they're kind of flipping it. But this analysis says, hey, that just shows that Coke's better than Pepsi, dumb shit.
Yeah, it was a dumb commercial.
Yeah, and it wasn't particularly funny. Let's see. Microsoft had kids with flippers playing games with their special controller. Did that move you at all? I don't know. No. Hey, I think at this point they should be happy anyone's buying an Xbox. But anyway, that's my the video game nerd in me. Handmaid's Tale did a parody. Hulu did a Handmaid's Tale.
You want to sell me your Xbox One?
No, because that's the nice one.
Ah!
But people buy the crummy one, and then they go, this thing sucks. It's 720p. And I go, yeah, because you got to get the X. That's $350 right now, though. Did you know that, the X?
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I'd still buy a PS4 Pro. Don't beat that. Let's see. So the Handmaid's Tale fooled some people, but I saw right away when it was Elizabeth Moss that this
is... The Morning in America?
Yeah, it's Morning in America, and it was really the Handmaid's Tale.
And that was not a bad...
Yeah, it was like a parody of Bush era. Yeah. Reagan in America.
That was a Reagan commercial.
Reagan commercial, okay. Budweiser, right after the Andy... Literally the next commercial. When Andy Warhol for Burger King ends, you hear Blowin' in the Wind is sung by Bob Dylan saying that Budweiser is now brewed by wind power. What says you, Corey Hall?
Who fucking cares?
I know. I don't care.
Like...
I'm not mad about... Look, the whole, like, mainstream artists cannot use their stuff commercially. That's, like, 20 years old. That's, like, Neil Young bullshit that really most people have gotten over themselves about. So I don't care if Bob Dylan sings for Budweiser. I think,
well,
you know...
that all was blown... When they did, Nike did fucking Revolution.
Right, and the Beatles...
In what, 87?
Well, the Beatles' argument is that they didn't control the rights, and that was a Michael Jackson thing. Okay. But
when was that, 87, 88?
Yeah,
like
that was in the late 80s. But then everyone got real uptight about it.
Well...
But I don't know what be uptight about.
Okay, but I think you and I are looking at this with very Gen X concerns about what's selling out, what's marketing, who... And this was like, you know what it kind of occurred to me? There used to be a stigma of big Hollywood actors would go to Japan and do commercials.
Yeah.
Like Sylvester Stallone wouldn't do ads in America, but he'd be over there shilling Suntory or...
Yeah, Brad Pitt, you know, and Eddie Murphy.
Vermont
and
Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah, big name stars would go over in Japan and take the money, which is the whole plot of
Lost in Translation.
And now it doesn't matter. Now Harrison Ford's out here doing commercials.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't... Yeah. Nothing matters anymore.
Right.
Super Bowl 2019, nothing fucking matters.
Well, but I mean, for Harrison Ford, you're going, I'm going to shoot this thing over 2 days, maybe, and make what I'm going to make for a 6 week movie shoot where I got to fucking shoot guns and fly over shit and hang from buildings. I'm going to fucking sit here with this dog and do this Amazon Alexa commercial and get paid and fuck everybody. I'm going to go fuck Ally McBeal on a pile of money. Leave me alone. That's what he's saying.
I'm exasperated.
That's why I'm not worried about Bob Dylan or Andy Warhol.
I'm exasperated by how much I hated the Super Bowl and how the sucking sound where a soul used to be that this country's become.
TurboTax had a baby, a robot who was a kid doing taxes.
Who gives a shit?
Okay. Oh. This one I saw and actually thought was completely ineffective, that Sarah Michelle Gellar is being chased in like a Scream-type film, and they're impressed that she's using oil of Olay. The murderer doesn't murder her because her skin looks so good. I think that was the conceit of this thing.
I'm sorry, again, bad messaging, because don't suicidal murderers like you to have good skin?
I don't know.
Isn't that the whole fucking...
I think he was like, it was like a Freddy Krueger who's like, oh, if I would have known about Olay.
But by the way, the killer in Silence of the Lambs, who's modeled after Ed Gein,
yes,
specifically has women put baby
lotion on his skin
so that the skin is beautiful.
So he can cut it up. Let's give you a couple more. Turkish Airlines. Ridley Scott made a film that the commercial was cut from, which made no sense at all. I don't know if you saw that. But again, it's a pile of fucking money, and it's Ridley Scott, and who cares?
Well, I don't care about Ridley Scott anymore. He's dead to me.
How likely are you to take Turkish Airlines based upon his commercial?
Oh, I can't wait to go to Turkey.
Well, there was lots of shots of Turkey. There's tons of shots of Istanbul.
I mean, I'm like, let me tell you, there's number one destination list for me, Ankara, Turkey. When they've got a fascist regime running the country.
Let's see. Oh, okay. There was the Kia commercial where they did basically a commercial that Ford would have done or Chevy years ago about these are the people that make our cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're a small town and I ain't going to make it in the NFL, but we're proud of what we do here. And it turns out they make Kias.
Yeah.
It was kind of a weird. Like
all the money goes back to Seoul, South Korea.
Korean takeoff.
And I can't wait until they reunite with the glorious leader in the North so that the socialist principles of North Korea and South Korea are aligned.
It is.
And, but here in Fucklebuck, Arkansas, we be tightening bolts on a Kia, God diggity dang.
We get $12 an hour for riveting all day, you know?
Bunch of shit.
I get $12 an hour and a Christmas ham.
I mean, it used to be my daddy, the only job in town was hog slopping. So it's much better to buy to build a piece of shit Sorento that's one of the crappiest cars available.
Mick Ultra, the robots are better than everything that humans do, but they can't drink beer. That was the point of that one.
Wow.
Here's one that I thought was clever. This was on early. Bon and Viv spiked seltzer. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that one.
Okay, so it's two mermaids, and they're pitching their seltzer to it's two yappy broads. They're pitching, hey sharks, you're gonna like this seltzer, and then they cut to actual sharks who now want to drink the seltzer. It's a Shark Tank parody. Two yappy broads invented seltzer, and they're mermaids.
Wow.
And that was, I mean, I don't know. People thought it was clever.
I used to have to review these professionally.
Like, the commercials?
For a few years, I was writing like a review of the commercials and I'd go on TV and talk about them. And it was a liberation not to have to watch this.
All right. So an Amazon Alexa type device is sad that it can't have Pringles. And there's two dudes sitting in their apartment with 50 cans of Pringles because that's what two dudes
do. So now we have two. We have robots can't enjoy human products.
Yes, that's true for Pringles and beer.
And what is that message, by the way?
Don't know.
In the most soulless,
godforsaken
shitstorm of a Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
in which the horrible goddamn Patriots won once again. And solidified their reign of terror.
Did you? What about the Mick Ultra ASMR commercial? Did you see this one? This is the lady.
I really wasn't paying.
Do you know what ASMR is?
It's a term that people use on YouTube with their videos.
Yes.
And it means,
it's basically a lady whispering or brushing her hair or making soothing noises that people that have some autistic streak in them find pleasing. Or you can just jerk off to the lady's voice. It's one or the other or both. I'm not sure.
What does that even the acronym stand for?
You can look it up. ASMR. Well, I'm going to play a little bit of this because see this. This lady's in like the mountains and she has two microphones because something about ASMR, which you will not hear on this show because we are in the beautiful fidelity of mono for you, which there's reasons why it's mono, but we're not getting into that. She has two mics. So if you watch this in a stereo setup or a surround system, she's actually using two mics, one on the right, one on the left. But you won't get that effect. But if you watch the video, I'm going to play this so people can hear.
Let's all experience something together.
A lot of ASMR is women like tapping their nails against stuff.
So pure, you can feel it.
She's rolling the beer bottle against the desk.
This beer, so pure, you can taste it.
I think Corey's hard over there. Are you okay?
It's Michelob Ultra, for fuck's sake. That's Zoe Kravitz.
Is that Zoe Kravitz?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't aware
of that. That's Zoe Kravitz, daughter of Lenny Kravitz and Melissa Bonet.
Yes.
So there you go.
But what does ASMR stand for? You looked it up.
It stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response.
Yeah, you know, when you watch those, it's kind of like it seems like the bigger ASMR producers, you know, the ones that are more popular, are the youngest, cutest girls. So you put it together why guys watch those.
An experience characterized by a static-like or tingling sensation on the skin that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine. Well, you know, it's funny. Speaking of YouTube and the endless shithole, you'll see a lot of people tag their stuff ASMR on YouTube.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't know what I watch, but I ended up getting, like, chiropractic videos in my
feed. Okay, sure, yeah.
It's always the bustiest chicks.
Right,
Lululemon.
Yeah.
Like, they're never working on you.
That is
the, you know what I mean? It's like, You could probably use a chyropractor, and it's not lurking on, right. You know.
If you want to see who's the biggest Fortnite streamers, it's usually girls in bikinis.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's always social media influencers.
Yeah.
Or, you know, fitness models are getting their backs cracked, and the guy's, like, you know, grabbing their titties and yanking it. And it's just funny.
Michael Bublé says that the bubbly beverage should be called Bublé. He's in a...
Yeah, anything Michael Bublé does, you can shove into a rocket and launch it into the space.
Him and Josh Groban are hilarious.
They're two of the funniest people.
Guys ever.
Two of the greatest... Did people go... In the 70s, were everybody being like, you know, Mac Davis is fucking hilarious.
I think Mac Davis actually did get acting roles. But
I know.
Yeah,
this is what this is. This is Michael Bublé.
It's like Michael Bolton.
Well, you guys remember how fucking knee slapping hilarious Donny Osmond was off a script?
I think today these guys realize that if they don't get in front of the how lame they are image wise, that they're going to become punching bags. And so that's why they're trying to be funny in the media and show their sense of humor, even if it's not very much, is because they're, you know, they don't want to be, you know, hey, no, we're really funny. It's okay.
I mean, but here's the thing. They're not.
No.
Like, being funny and being a singer is fine.
Yes.
That's, you know, being charming, you know, whatever. But, Lord, is Michael Bublé unfunny?
Do you want to watch this? We're almost done. But the Bon and Viv Spike Seltzer, do you want to watch that?
Show. All right, show.
I'll show. I'll put the, make this full screen for you.
I wish I'd paid attention to the commercial.
Come with me.
Oh, I think I saw you.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Vivian. And we're the makers of Bon and Viv Spike Seltzer. It's sparkling water and alcohol. It comes in fruit botanicals like pear, elderflower, with 0 grams of sugar.
Yeah, seems too good to be true. But let us tell you, the myth is real. What do you think, sharks?
I'm in. I want in, too.
I'll double their offer.
Hey, this is my expertise.
No,
I'll
double
their offer.
There you go. There you go.
Well, it's cute.
It's cute. It's fine. I mean, it's inside baseball. You got to know Shark Tank. And I'm going to give somebody, because actually a comedian did a very funny bit about Shark Tank where they acted out the whole pitch and how it's always two yappy broads who end up back to back. And it's kind of a great bit. It's an awful human being named Eliza Schlesinger who does the bit. But I got to give her credit. The bit is funny, Eliza. Eliza.
Talking trash on Eliza.
Eliza, it's a wonderful bit and it made me laugh every time you did it. Don't mistake that for the fact that I actually like you, because I don't. But I will give you credit as being funny, at least in your Shark Tank bit.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much. Joel Fragamenti signing off.
Oh.
All right. So that was the Super Bowl commercials. I don't know.
God, that Super Bowl. I can't wait to forget it. I mean,
most people have already.
You know, I like the Rams. I would have been real happy if the Rams won.
Yes.
And the Rams shit the bed hard.
Yeah.
And it was just a bummer the whole way.
Well, I also thought it was interesting that, you know, they said that the stadium was full of New England fans, that there didn't have as many L.A. fans, which it's kind of like, boy, you figure L.A., you know, maybe the L.A. crowd would be a richer crowd who could travel.
Atlanta's a long flight.
Yeah, but they're probably not that far. I mean, it's probably 2.5 hours out of Boston. And it's probably 4 from L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that it's that different, but anyway.
Oy.
But whatever. I mean, Patriots won. I don't really care. It's fine. I wish the game would have been better. I always say that about any sporting event.
How many championships
I just want a good game.
Has Boston had in the last 20 years?
Well, the Red Sox won the last World Series, right?
Yeah.
And they've won 2 previous to that in the last 15 years or so. Since the Patriots have won these 6 Super Bowls over 18 years.
Cleveland's had 1 in 50 years.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Detroit is pretty bad, too.
Has Phoenix had a championship ever?
What would that be? The Cardinals, the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, the Suns, no.
Suns, I don't think any of them have ever won anything.
And you know why?
Anything.
Fuck Phoenix.
Well, fuck Phoenix, yeah, I'm fine with that.
I hate all sports teams from Phoenix. You know, when it comes down to, like, when it's a neutral thing, usually I pick, like, do I like a player or two?
Yeah.
Now, okay, I like the Rams. I like the Rams uniforms, like the colors, the 70s look they were wearing.
Right.
They had a bunch of the players on my team in fantasy this year, so I follow them. And if you're going to give me a choice between where I'd rather go, Boston or Los Angeles,
yeah,
having spent time in both.
Okay.
I'm going to take L.A. every time.
Okay. Well, Boston's got its charm. But,
yeah,
I mean, you know,
Boston's fine.
L.A.'s got the weather, and you ain't topping that.
Boston's a nice town.
Yeah.
But it's never spoken to me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I like Boston, but I'd
rather go to Chicago than Boston.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, if I lived closer to Boston, I'd spend more time in Boston.
Yeah.
I live closer to Chicago, so I spend more time in Chicago or Toronto, but, you know, whatever.
I'm just saying, you know, if I had a choice. So
but
I go by the town.
Here's the other problem with Boston. New York's closer and better to us.
Well, Philadelphia and Boston are both in the shadow of New York.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And both have their own charms.
Yeah, and I spent time in Philly.
I'm not saying, I'm not even trying to trash Boston. It's just that I don't have an affinity for it in the way that I do.
Sure.
And I've been to Boston. I've spent time in Boston. And it's a lovely town, but whatever. All right.
All right. Howard Schultz. You seem to have some material.
Well, this guy. Okay. So he's the former CEO of Starbucks.
Yes.
I'm surprised he wasn't up there sitting in Robert Kraft's lap.
And he looked like he was asleep for some of that game.
Okay, so we've got, I don't know how many announced candidates in the Democratic Party. I mean, Elizabeth Warren came out first, and then you have...
Well, you have Kamala Harris, and you have this
Harris,
Schultz fella. Cory Booker.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Okay.
Did Cory Booker officially announce?
I think it's
a couple of them pulled
there,
this.
But
a couple people pulled this. I'm opening an exploratory committee.
Yes.
Sherrod Brown from Ohio was like, I'm going on a listening tour.
Joe Biden?
Joe Biden is not.
Hillary Clinton? But they're flirting, right?
They're not officially.
Yeah,
but there's at least a half dozen.
Yeah.
Julian Castro, who's not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's like four or five guys you've never heard of.
Yeah.
That are officially announced and in the ring. And then there's several people that are like, maybe. This Howard Schultz comes out.
Yeah.
And goes, hold on. There's going to be 12 people in the Democratic primary. I'm going to get in there and announce that I'm running as an independent. And it was met with the most thunderous indifference I've ever seen happen for.
Oh, he's running as an independent?
Yes.
Well.
So
if I'm. If you're a Democrat, you have to be upset with him, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, so he did some event at. Actually, this clip's great. He did some event and a guy heckled him. And he looked like he'd never, like, it never occurred to him. Some guy jumped up and was like, you arrogant billionaire asshole, don't let Trump win again. Like,
well,
basically, and that's what, and the guy looked like no one had spoken to him like that ever in his life.
Yeah.
Or he's had 30 years of being a CEO and no one talks to him.
Yeah. He's
the ladies on The View. Fucking Daryl Dawkins Chocolate Thunder dunked on him. It was like, do you know what I mean? It was like, he went in there and they all fucking rejected him like Manute Bol and slapped him down. And he was like, what am I? It's amazing, though, to watch
but
this.
But
like,
isn't he a guy that wrote a book and now he's kind of touring?
Well, Joy Behar called him out and was like, he's selling his book.
Yeah.
And it was great.
But that is what you do before you run for office. Usually is you write a book. Because Obama did that. Obama wrote a book,
everybody
and people liked
book.
The book,
right.
And then the book became the blueprint
and all these candidates,
for the campaign. And
all
yeah.
these candidates go, well, I mean, look, a lot of them have, you know, congressional or senatorial or governor experience or whatever. This guy's got no political experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, look, he innovated the peppermint latte.
Yeah.
You know.
But the problem is Starbucks is very important to some people.
Yeah.
And that's, again, speaks to our country. Yeah.
This guy
but
was
yes,
like, this guy's like, what if we put Mariah Carey Christmas CDs by the register? I mean, it's a fucking genius. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, guy's like skills. But it was pretty amazing to watch him get, like, he was unprepared, basically. His answers were all vague. He was saying things like, they go, well, what do you think that the top marginal tax rate should be? And he's like, well, I don't want to hypothetically get into what I would do as president. Well, that's what you're here for, stupid. It was kind of amazing. This, like, guy went, I'm rich. Therefore, I should be president. And he came out and, like, just everybody has been dunking on him. Every platform has, it's unbelievable. It's a rollout flop I've never seen.
Yeah, he's the candidate of the week. Let's just put it that way.
Right. And his time in the, it will be dope. I mean, but I guess he just gets an interview on all these platforms because he was the CEO of Starbucks.
No, I agree.
And they go, oh, well, that guy must know something. Yeah. He doesn't know diddly shit.
He does absolutely nothing. All right. Real quick. for movie stuff, you know, we're doing the next show you hear from me and Corey is going to be the big movie show where we talk about the best movies of 2018. We'll do our Oscar picks, our Oscar preview. I believe I will have seen all of the Oscar nominated movies in the categories I care about by that date. I'm actually going to see one tonight at the theater, so we'll be talking about those. So I don't think I've seen anything that's a new release that people are out looking at. What about you?
In terms of coming out?
Like what's out now that's not one of these Oscar movies
Wet
that
trash.
You've seen? It's yeah, all... I'm just saying, is there anything? I know they said that the January box office is the worst. Glass, people are like, you're going to see Glass? I'm like, I didn't see Unbreakable or the other fucking dumb thing. And people don't even like Glass that are seeing it. So I don't know why I would see that.
It's really, let's look at like how bad it is. Because I saw The Kid Who Would Be King.
Oh, okay. Well, the trailers for that didn't look great. But Cornish, Attack the Block's a great movie.
And the reason I saw The Kid Who Would Be King is that I was paid to do so.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't have gone and seen that.
Okay.
But like.
But was it good, though?
It was okay, but it was a kid's movie.
It's a kid's movie.
You're just like, this is passable, but it's
right.
My wife ended up seeing Escape Room last night because she went out with a friend and they were like, you know, had to see a movie.
Yeah.
Look at this garbage that's out right now.
What is the top 10? Right. Well, probably the Oscar movies are in there, I would guess, right. On some level.
All right, Lego Movie is opening this week.
Okay, Lego Movie 2. Now, I like Lego Movie 1, but I have not seen the other Lego movies that have followed in its wake. And
you didn't see Lego Batman?
No, or Lego Ninjago or whatever, and I feel like they're making too many. I think they've oversaturated the Lego market.
Yes.
Not unlike the Lego video games. They've made too many.
Joel, there is nothing that comes out that isn't exploited and extruded and stretched beyond its reason, much like this podcast.
All right,
there's too many of these.
We're going to try to be brief here.
The Upside, which was Kevin Hart.
Oh, yeah.
And Bryan Cranston, a remake of a French movie that people didn't even like that much. And Kevin Hart, of course, his career's in the toilet because people scrubbed his Twitter and went, hey, a black comedian said some homophobic stuff. Holy shit, really?
Right.
Wow.
I believe it's track one on Eddie Murphy's Delirious. If you get the audio version.
Yes.
It's called Faggots.
Yes.
It's on Spotify. Go look at it right now.
Yes.
Track one is called Faggots.
Eddie Murphy does a whole bit about how gay Michael Jackson is.
Right.
And how...
The bit is, I'm going to...
And then he follows it up on Raw about how the gays are romantic.
Track one, he goes, I'm going to keep moving on stage because I don't want faggots to have too close a view of my ass as I'm on stage. That's the bit. I probably played it on the show before.
So great, wasn't it?
Yes. I got to keep moving so faggots don't stare at my ass.
Well, our childhoods, by the way, our 1980s.
By the way, I do teach comedy class, and that is in week two.
Is faggots?
Keep moving on stage so faggots can't look at your ass.
Is that what it is?
No, I'm making a joke.
Bring in guest instructor Alex Bozanova to demonstrate the best way. He actually probably wants that.
Yes, he wants that.
Alex would probably enjoy it.
All right, come on.
But I'm just saying.
So Kevin, give us some more movies.
What Men Want with Taraji P. Henson.
I know what men want, not to see that movie. You set me up. That was a perfect setup.
Well, Bill Maher had his new rules, and he's like, what men want? A blowjob.
Okay.
That was it. Liam Neeson, who just killed his career. he's got a movie coming out this Friday, Cold Pursuit.
Oh, so that's where he beats up Eastern European terrorists?
Well, he's apparently there's terrorists on the road to Alberta.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a trucker driving in the snow, and he's going to kill some guys.
I liked where he fought the wolves.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
That was great, wasn't it?
European wolves.
The Gray.
The Gray, yeah, it was good.
That was good.
Yeah, The Gray was
good. The Gray was one of the better of the Liam Neeson.
Of the Liam Neeson.
I'm kind of a sucker.
I liked the first Taken. I thought that was good.
Okay, by the third one, you're like, this guy doesn't have skills.
And then there was the movie where he lost his memory.
Well, it's like if his wife gets killed and his daughter gets kidnapped three times, the guy doesn't have skills. You have a very particular set of skills to not keep your family safe. You're fucking this up.
Locking the door, not one of the skills. Exactly. Yeah. They're a little too particular. You got to widen your skills, Liam.
here's a skill. Move to the mountains.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, it's just all bad. Prodigy, there's a horror movie.
What is Attila Battle Angel is opening soon.
Oh.
And they were going out of, there was a big Super Bowl commercial about that. Apparently that's like.
That's called Uncanny Valley CGI Nightmare.
Well, they're billing that as like this great 3D experience. So you're supposed to go, like anyone cares about 3D anymore, but you're supposed to go and see this.
Happy 3D. Death Day 2 is coming out.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not caught up on Happy Death Day. Let me.
Miss Bala.
Don't know what that is.
So it's just really bad.
I mean, kind of a dumping ground, yeah.
It's the January. Oh, Joel, did you see A Dog's Way Home?
Didn't see A Dog's Way Home.
Oh, my God.
Was it part of the Puppy Bowl?
No. So anyway, there's some bad stuff.
Is there a Valentine's Day movie you're supposed to see?
Apparently What Men Want. I mean, you want to see Taraji P. Henson. I kind of want to see this movie.
Taraji P. Henson Can't Get Laid?
Well, I kind of want to see how insulted.
Are we supposed to believe that?
Yeah. Well, you know, look, it's going to all be like, oh, I want hamburger. Like, you know, they're just going to be like, men's thoughts are all going to be stupid and pointless. And
right.
Men never have anything deep on their minds.
No.
It's going to be like the equivalent of a Tide commercial where dad don't know how washer work. He done blowed it up. Like every TV commercial in the Super Bowl, they're always like, my husband, I told him to make pancakes, and he set the Kia on fire, so now a guy in Arkansas is going to build another one.
I'm going to put Taraji P. Henson in a documentary where she gets a flat tire outside a black barbershop.
Oh!
That's the greatest movie right there.
See who comes and fix it?
She has to go in and ask for help, and a fist fight breaks out. I don't know.
I want to watch a movie where Taraji P. Henson tries to parallel park for 45 minutes.
I want to see Taraji P. Henson walking down the street and it starts to rain and what she does with her hair.
Oh.
Talk about Liam Neeson in that.
Hey, don't talk about a black woman's hair. Right? You can't even look at it, talk about it, think about it. Listen.
Look, I've pulled a few wigs off in my day. I've been there.
I saw What Men Want. And afterwards, I took to the streets looking for a black bastard.
That's
the quote.
I don't even know what context that's in, so I'm not going to pile on Liam Neeson.
How do you give interviews for... and I've interviewed Liam Neeson, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
And Liam Neeson is like 6'8". He's like a huge dude.
Yeah.
But like, how you give interviews for 30 years and go, I don't even know what happened... but the internet is eating his face off while we started. This broke while we were taping here.
Yeah.
And it was just like, wow.
Yeah, I just haven't heard that, and I don't know enough about it. And it sounds like a dumb thing that a dumb guy would say, and I feel like that all lines up in my mind. So let's move on to... So you haven't seen any movies. What about television, Corey? Are you up on your Masked Singer, Corey? Do you have any theories as to who the lion is, Corey? Corey is putting a gun in his mouth. He's loaded it. Please, Corey, don't shoot, Corey. No. Oh, no. Damn it. The Masked Singer. I'm glad Nick Cannon got work, Corey, because, boy, he hasn't been on America's Got Talent.
Oh, my God.
In the last. And the panel of geniuses.
Cannon, there's a giant talent.
Okay. The panel of geniuses that they got to figure out who's under the masks is the Pussycat Doll Lady.
Oh, God.
Ken Jeong, your hero.
Yeah.
Jenny McCarthy, who
Jesus
won't shut the fuck up.
Really?
And Robin Thicke. Although for 2 weeks Joel McHale sat in, and it's literally
Robin Thicke lost all the money he made on his hit.
Yes, because he didn't write. They gave it all to Marvin Gaye. Okay. So Joel McHale sitting on the panel.
Okay. By the way, that upped the quality of the panel about 40%.
Joel McHale, you can see him as they're trying to... He's signing his check. He's signing his check from Fox, and he hands it to his assistant midway through the show. It's amazing.
You know what I love about Joel McHale? He looks like a goddamn superhero.
He kind of does.
Right? Yeah. The guy, like, right, fit in a... works out, looks, you know, he's 6'5", tall, blonde, handsome. Everything he does gets canceled. And he
fails upward every time.
Basically into a lifetime of being a panelist on The Match Game.
Pretty much, yes.
And that's going to be his career.
And that's fine.
And I look.
But if you...
I would love to have been Joel McHale's dick for one day of my life. Because the places it went
and
goes. But
if you ask a woman about Joel McHale, they'll all say, I really like him.
Yeah.
None of them watch his product. You know, whatever he's on, they're not watching,
well,
and
he's
it
handsome.
Fails, but they like him. There's no not liking him.
Well, because he's handsome.
Again, I say that women think the funniest guy is the handsome guy.
Yes.
They don't really get that. The women can't separate humor from attractiveness. It's a very strange thing.
Well, it's a real
thing.
Bitch for us, isn't it?
Thank God we're handsome, Corey, because
no, Jesus Christ.
No one knows that we are actually not funny.
But, I like Joel McHale.
Yes.
I liked his Talk Soup show and his Netflix show.
Yeah, same thing. I watched some of the Joel McHale show.
But it's
Joel
just,
McHale.
He's like game show panelist is his life.
Yes.
And the guy is this handsome.
Well, the problem with him is that his whole gig is now
snark.
And it's kind of what happened to Super Bowl commercials. All of that gimmick is now been stolen by the internet. You can get Joel McHale 24/7 on Twitter. And I'm not saying that literally Joel McHale, making snotty remarks. You can watch kitty cat videos on YouTube all day. You don't need them in your Super Bowl commercials anymore.
Okay. There's a whole thing about so when Roger Stone got arrested last week.
Yes.
Literally the first thing I thought, and Roger Stone's a lunatic his whole shtick is like, I'm an agent provider. You watch the Roger Stone.
I recommended it a couple years ago when it came out, and everyone should watch Get Me Roger Stone if you want to know what this guy's all about. It's a very entertaining documentary.
But the guy's he's this scumbag.
Yeah, he's a scumbag.
He thinks the height of American life was when Nixon was president.
Sure, yes.
And he literally has so the first thing I thought was, he's got a Nixon tattoo on his back.
He does, yes.
That's going to play well in the joint. Right? So I thought, I posted on Twitter.
He might have fun in the joint. If you watch that documentary, you'll know why.
Exactly.
He is a dandy.
He does not have the problem Eddie Murphy has.
No.
He wants them to look at him when he's on stage. But I posted on Twitter, I was like, you know who I feel bad for in all this is the cellmate. Roger Stone's future cellmate who's going to have to look at that Nixon tattoo on his back every night. And you know what? Bill Maher had the same joke on.
Well, it's a pretty obvious.
You know what I mean? So sometimes you have the obvious jokes and the internet will take all your stuff. And
right. I mean,
speaking of which,
yeah,
we talked about the Fire Festival documentary.
We did, yes.
Well, now you see there's a movement on Twitter.
Yes.
Where the what are these guys even, they're like...
Well,
they're a meme generation factory.
Fuck Jerry is, well, it became where it was like just guys like putting their stuff on, like a lot of it was like the Chive.
Are
I know like, more idiots, but
are they
yeah.
like brand consultants?
Well, they're social media. You have a thing that you want to event, you hire these Fuck Jerry guys. Because see, the thing is when they got all of these followers for their memes and because they were stealing comedians' jokes and all that stuff, that gave them the followers. When you have the followers, then you can charge money. It's the same. It's the thing, the influencer thing that you hate just being done on a corporate level. They basically made a company that is now the influencer, and they were promoting Fire Festival and all that stuff. But anyway, go ahead.
Explain
what Fuck Jerry's problem is.
Well, apparently they're stealing people's jokes on Twitter.
Well,
and turning
apparently
them into
they've
memes.
Been stealing people's
yeah.
jokes.
So
for
there's
years
been a
years.
Big
yes.
like don't unfollow Fuck Jerry
yes.
this week.
Well, the hashtag is Fuck Jerry.
Yes.
Yes.
So I said, you know, who's had a worse week? Fuck Jerry or fuck Howard Schultz. Because it seems like everybody turned on the guy at the same time.
The Fuck Jerry, I know John Mulaney, they're giving credit to leading the Fuck Jerry movement. And comedians are coming out saying, and then Fuck Jerry had to come out and say, well, we will now begin giving credit to these people. But meanwhile, they're making millions of dollars off of the followers they got off these comics. So
now,
my advice, and I teach this in my comedy class, starting again February 23rd, the advanced comedy class, Mark Lee's Comedy Castle, is for comedians to not put all of their best stuff on social media.
Right.
Don't put up YouTube clips of yourself. Don't tweet your best jokes that you're going to be telling on stage. They will, and they do, and will get stolen.
And a lot of the stuff that I tweet is like relevant to that day
or that
moment.
And you're never going to use it on stage, and
so,
that's fine.
It's like I'm not really... once in a while, I might use a Twitter-type joke that I put up, but like usually, you know.
Well,
I started the hashtag Fuck Jerry, by the way, a long time ago. But
okay,
it was for a different reason.
He's not a Seinfeld fan.
Inside,
all right,
inside
let's
heat,
move on.
Inside heat. All
right. That, there,
hey, guys,
stop,
DM me. DM me if you got that joke. All right, if you're woke.
Who cares?
Inside the business.
I had something to tell you. I don't even know anymore. Let's move on. No, but I know a comedian who does Brent Terhune, who's a very funny guy.
Okay.
And you should follow him because he makes good stuff.
Yeah.
Brent does a redneck character. and he's angry at all the things. He burned his Nikes when the protest started.
Okay.
As I'm going to burn my, you know, and he was like, and right. A lot of people think he's a serious right wing, like hillbilly.
Yes, because they don't understand.
Because they don't get his irony. But people,
much like the Bud Light night, irony has dead in 2019.
Everybody steals his shit.
Yeah.
And sometimes he just does like a meme, like a picture of something, and he writes on it, and then they take his name off and redo it.
The nebulous business of like joke stealing and stealing, like, is hard to establish even in a situation where you know it's a guy stole your bit.
Right.
But you put it on the internet, and you're basically inviting it to be.
Well,
putting a joke on Twitter is like putting your CDs in a box that says free on your front porch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to, you know what I mean?
Well, ultimately, though, the reason guys do it and the reason you should do it, even though I tell you not to do it, is if you're funny and people find you, you will get more followers. Sure. The more followers you have when you promote your shows, the more people that are likely to see that and potentially go to your show. And when I talked to Brent, because Brent actually sat in on my comedy class the week he was at the Castle a few weeks ago. And Brent, I said, well, are people coming to your shows now because they're watching the redneck character and your other viral type videos? And he goes, yes, it is actually working for him. So it is working for him, but he's also frustrated by the thieves. So, yeah, the fuck Jerry thing is real. The Fire Festival thing's nothing I ever would have been interested in. I think it is interesting that, especially the Netflix documentary, that the fuck Jerry guys are washing their hands of the whole thing.
Well,
in a sense.
It is funny, so, depending on which order you wash them in.
Yes.
Because at the end of the Hulu thing, they specifically point out that the fuck Jerry guys participated in
the other documentary.
Yeah. And then when I watched that one first, and so the second one was kind of...
You watched the Hulu one first.
Yeah, it was spoiled for me. It was colored by the notion that, and it was true, that guys in that one are doing much more of a kind of CYA maneuver there.
I feel like... I think you did... I mean, again, because they came out, you know, 5 days apart, I also watched the Hulu one first. And I think probably that's the one to watch. Even though I think the Netflix one has a little more filmmaking on display.
Yes.
It's a little slicker. I do think the Hulu one goes harder on them in the sense that from their perspective, the thing was a scam from the get-go. And the Netflix one is showing the guy going, oh, no, we were building the stage. We had booked these acts. Right, we were really making it. And some of them felt like, oh, we were surprised that this thing never happened, which you kind of go, how did you not know that this was bullshit?
So. But, you know, it, talking about Brett Terhune and people not getting his bit.
Yeah.
You made a joke about the Fyre Festival.
Yes, I did.
And a defunct local club.
Yes.
That was clearly a joke.
Yes.
And anybody who was wise and not a rube understood that.
And then the rubes came out of the woodworks. I'm going
to
do the
joke. Argue about the whole thing.
I'm going to do the joke now. And I remember it's Saturday night, 1 a.m. So it's Sunday morning, 1 a.m., whatever it is. And I said, someone should make, and the Fyre Festival documentary stuff has gone viral. Mm-hmm. I had seen these documentaries, I think, before almost anybody and talked to them.
People who weren't aware about the whole festival.
And I was aware of the festival when it was happening, too. But anyway. Mm-hmm. I made the joke that someone should make a Fyre Festival documentary about Laugh Tracks and Novi. Now, to give you some context, if you're not in the Michigan comedy scene, Laugh Tracks was a comedy club started by Bill Bouchard and the man who was on the show with us today, Sal D'Amelio. It was in the side room of a billiard hall on sort of a dark and untraveled road.
It was like they curtained off
in Novi. Yeah,
they curtained off half. Yeah. It wasn't even like a room.
Yeah. But anyway, This comedy club really never found an audience. Bill Bouchard washed his hands of it. It bounced around. Different guys promoted shows there. The owner never seemed financially into this. The billiard hall never seemed to have any audience.
It was, you had to. Unlike what works in comedy clubs is, eventually an audience knows the place is there.
Yes.
And like the Comedy Castle where you work is the brand name that everybody knows in town. Or you're the improv or whatever you are, people know that that's a comedy club. Mm-hmm. People would only go to Laugh Tracks because you got them in there by whatever means of promotion.
Yes.
No one ever knew it was there independently or came and showed up.
Yeah. I mean, people know it's there. And the Laugh Tracks never got that.
Under multiple regimes.
And there were lots of people who attempted, you know, some guys had the open mic night, other guys were booking weekend guys. Guys would try to bring in celebrity comics that they were fans of and promote the shows themselves. Basically, none of that worked. You and I both played that club. We both headlined the club. I did student showcases there with my students. It was an honest effort.
A lot of people got time there and got to do things there. And so that from that perspective, it was good for comics, but it was never effectively
and
a comedy club.
My joke.
And it was the Afghanistan of comedy clubs in that everybody who ran it eventually was driven out.
Well, look, and that was why I drew the core. The joke was ultimately about the Fyre Festival documentary. Yes. But let's make because if you put together all of the people who touched that thing in a professional way, in a booker, manager, promoter type setting, you'd have about a dozen wacky guys, just like the Fyre Festival documentaries, all discussing. And you and I would be on there going, yeah, I headlined there and there were three people there on a Saturday night and I got $50, which is what I did. You know, and it would make for an interesting documentary. Well, then one guy starts defending the owner against all these people. The whole thing, there were over 100 comments at one point.
Yeah, and his initials rhyme with Red Ross.
All right, listen. All right. I had to go on there. Meanwhile, I'm going in there deleting comments because everyone's getting mad at each other.
Hey, guys are blowing up your phone.
And then I said to you, there needs to be a Fyre Festival documentary about the Fyre Festival documentary Facebook post that I made. And then Corey made a post about that, which some people didn't get, and the whole thing is a whole circle.
It's just so funny how, like, that was a joke.
Your joke was a joke about a joke that I made, which some people didn't get was a joke.
But I'm just saying, your initial post was an obvious joke.
It's an obvious joke.
And by the way, it wasn't really a joke that was open to commentary, really.
No.
It's a joke. And so often...
The joke, I would expect that... I don't think that joke required any comments from anybody. I mean, some people said, oh, that's really funny. You could have just put a like or a smiley face, and that would have been appropriate, and we could have moved on with our lives. People had to just share their...
The other thing is, as a comedian, you make a joke, and the audience laughs, and that's the response.
Yeah.
I don't really need a discussion.
Right,
group.
I know.
And the internet is a goddamn discussion group for all your jokes.
It is.
And you don't want that. You made a good, solid joke.
Yes.
It led to 3 days of debate and
comedy,
controversy.
And this is the problem with comedy in the modern age. Comedy has always existed of, I'm in a room full of people. My job is to make these people laugh. The problem is when people outside of that room look at what you're doing in that room and they don't approve of it, now you're in hot water. And it just doesn't make sense. And that's the problem with Facebook is you're trying to tell a joke and there's people, you know, Facebook is a town square. It's not a comedy club. Mm-hmm. And when you try to make it a comedy club, you're going to offend people. Believe me, if you want to be offended, go to a comedy club with no sense of humor. You will be offended. Guarantee you'll be offended. But that's the idea of, you know, when you buy your ticket, you are consenting to being part of this experience where people say things that are outrageous and potentially offensive to people that aren't there. But nobody seems to get that. It's unbelievable. The world we live in. They're just fucking jokes. And, you know,
they're not a joke unless Michael Bublé or Josh Groban.
I also described, you know, that particular comedian's reaction was, you know, somebody brought a Bible to the bachelor party.
Yes.
You know, and look, if it's Sunday morning and you want to go to church and preach, go ahead.
But you know what?
Everyone's having a good time. You don't need to preach to us.
Well, you know, we had this week. Today it's, you know, 50 degrees.
Yes.
And all the snow is melting. And it'll be 40 for the rest of the next 3-4 days. You know, but before that, we had record low temperatures.
It was incredibly cold. It was colder in Detroit than the South Pole last week. I'm not making that up. That is true.
It was -2 was the high on
Wednesday
last
week. Yeah.
So, like, from Tuesday to Thursday, it was just completely frozen tundra. They were like, the news was like, don't go outside for 20 minutes because you'll get frostbite.
Our brilliant governor said that we should turn our heat down to 65 to save natural gas.
DTE issued an alert.
Consumers Energy.
Or Consumers Energy, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, did you see that Super Bowl commercial where the head of Consumers Energy came on and thanked us all for cooperating with turning down our heat?
So I don't know if the governor's office issued the thing through the Consumers Energy.
I believe the governor has to issue the alert.
Okay.
So that all hits our phones.
A natural gas processing station blew up.
Yes.
And so the Consumers Energy said, hey, I know it's super cold, but can everybody turn their heat down to 65? And it literally went off on everybody in Michigan.
Yes.
Everybody in Michigan's phone lit up.
I have now turned those alerts off, by the way.
Okay.
The presidential alerts you cannot turn off in the United States on your phones, but Amber alerts and other emergency alerts and storm alerts you can turn off. I found the setting.
All right. Android, but whatever.
Yeah.
So this, of course, prompted all kinds of endless discussion and debate on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So my joke was, there's two kinds of assholes.
Yeah.
The fuck you. Fuck you. You don't own me. I'm going to turn this bitch up to 85.
Yeah.
And then the other one was I always have my thermostat set at 62 degrees because the monarch butterfly migration would be impacted. So that's exactly what happened.
It was a personality test on some level, wasn't it?
Yeah. And a lot of people failed.
It was the bog. What's the name of that fucking thing?
Oh, right. What is the personality test?
The Ashley Borg.
I'm sorry.
Ashley Borg's a girl I slept with. That's a joke. I didn't sleep with Ashley Borg. Everyone's Corey's like, who's Ashley Borg? Do I know
this one?
But it's called something like that. I forget what it's called. Okay. All right, let's go on. In television, I am watching True Detective Season 3 on HBO, Corey.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. I like it. It's been slow. Episode 5 just aired. Here's what HBO did. Hats off to HBO. They go, hey, our big Sunday TV show no one's watching this week because it's Super Bowl. We're going to put it on Friday. Bam. Thank you, HBO. That's good thinking. Mm. Way to go. But anyway, this new season of True Detective, Mahershala Ali, Corey.
We'll never get that guy's name right.
The star of Green Book.
Too many vowels.
Is in this Stephen Dorff coming back. Good show. I look, it's my first True Detective. I know a lot of people watched that first season with McConaughey and the other guy, Woody, and they didn't like it. They liked it, and then they were disappointed in how it turned out. I myself never got into that show.
Yeah.
But I thought, hey, why not? Let's give this one a go, and it's been pretty good. So I'm recommending this. It's very much, I recommended Sharp Objects last year on HBO. That was a really good show. This show feels real because everyone's got a Southern accent thing going, which makes it hard to understand half of the dialogue.
Because
that's what Sharp Objects was. You can find articles about, like, I can't understand Sharp Objects.
I have learned something.
I turned the subtitles on.
Learned something about myself at this point in my life.
What's that?
This is not a genre I like.
Well,
and I did watch the McConaughey one.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
I just don't care about people solving mysteries.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not a white woman.
Well, that's not true.
I'm not watching. I've avowed my distaste for true crime.
It's not true crime.
I know, but the mystery genre in general doesn't appeal as much to me. I don't know what it is.
There's slow, good ones and bad ones.
I know, but slow-moving mystery stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what. Episode 5 really got... Well, here's the thing about... Let me explain what's good about this one, as opposed to some of the other ones. It takes place over 3 periods in time. It takes place in present day. It takes place in 1990 and 1980, all with the same actor. So the original crime, the murder kidnapping, happens in 1980. And you see these actors in all 3. And they did like a real amazing job. Like, Ali looks like fucking, he looks like old,
Lou Gossett Sr.?
No, like Hank Aaron at the end. And it's amazing how, they made him look like the 1990 period of the show. And, and the show jumps from when they all look like that's kind of their real age of the actors. It was 1990. Mm-hmm. And now, he's losing his memory. And the conceit is that, they found somebody who did the crime in 80. They found out in 90 that person probably didn't do it. And now in present day, this is where the hook is that they are doing a true crime documentary about the crime that took place in 1980 in present day. Mm-hmm. And you're getting the behind the scenes of that because this director of the true crime documentary thinks that they have new evidence. And it's a very interesting structure. I'm recommending it. It could be disappointing in the end when the whole thing is revealed to you. I remember
aren't they usually?
Well, the one that really was The Killing on AMC. Mm-hmm. That was, Joel Kinnaman was on there. That's where he got hot as, like, this, you know, new actor. And that show, they figured out that people were really into the show. It was supposed to be one season, and they tell you who the murderer was. Yeah. That midway through the first season, they decided to make it a two-season mystery, and then that pissed everybody off because they had to wait another 6 months.
So I feel like the whole detective genre.
Yes.
People love the detective genres. They love murder shows.
Yes. By the way, this segment is called, this is Corey Shits on Everything You Like. Go ahead,
well,
Corey.
Well, yeah, I do. I feel like people go, oh my God, I'm really solving this mystery. But you're not smart. You're not a cop. You're not a cop.
I'm not a cop.
You're not solving a mystery.
Neither is Mishari Ali.
I'm just saying. But this genre appeals to people who think like they're being they're being very clever.
It makes people feel smart.
You once
that's
said,
why this.
You said you thought dumb people watch Jeopardy, which I'm fascinated by.
Yeah, I do. No. Absolutely, dumb people watch Jeopardy.
But I find that to be a weird.
No, that's true.
Choice, but I think. Dumb people think they're smarter by watching detective drama.
I know that works the same way.
And they're not smarter than anybody but the fucking screenwriter.
Well, sometimes.
And I feel like.
You're smarter than the screenwriter.
Eight out of 10 times.
No, and
I'm
you probably
smarter
are.
Than the screenwriter.
And look, you
so
can
the genre
watch.
Has no appeal to me.
You can watch Murder, She Wrote and figure out every fucking one. It's not that hard.
Because they're also formula.
You can figure out every CSI. Figure out every, all of those. This one is better filmmaking. There's very talented people that make this.
Sure.
Sharp Objects was made by, I forget the name of that director, but it's the guy who made Dallas Buyers Club.
I just don't have.
It's got Amy Adams. They have the best actors in the world in some of these shows. They're good shows.
Aside from
they're beautiful looking, they're shot well.
Aside from Better Call Saul,
yes,
which has some slow moving portions to it. Although a lot of it is, funny, and Bob Odenkirk is great.
Yes,
great performances. There will occasionally be turgid passages in there.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered about myself watching 10 million hours of media and films and TV.
Mm-hmm.
The slow-moving detective shit does not engage my interest.
Okay. Well, it's a good show. I mean, I'm recommending this because you're not Corey Hall, listener.
All right.
So if you're not Corey Hall, you'll like this show.
I'm just saying.
But Corey, you
tend to not like sci-fi.
No. I like good sci-fi.
All right.
We're doing our top 10 movies or top 15 movies of 2018. Okay. There will be, I believe, two of the best movies of last year were sci-fi movies in my book.
I'm just saying,
and I will recommend
the genre. I'm not into it anyway.
I believe that there can be anything can be good. I believe that there are good.
Sure.
There are good rom-coms. There are good murder shows. There's good, political thrillers. There's good biopics. There's bad biopics.
There's not good Michael Bublé albums.
Well, listen, I will keep listening until I've heard one. Corey, thank you very much.
You know what the fucking sad thing is Seth MacFarlane thinks he is Michael Bublé. He really.
Oh, well, yeah, he's the guy that like is an actor now.
And then he's like, but my real passion. Look, I've got 5 cartoon shows. $3 billion.
Yes.
And I've got a new show that's a tribute to Star Trek. And it's a very expensive and complicated show to produce. But my real passion.
Yeah.
Is singing big band. Music.
He loves it.
That
man.
Fucking guy.
He loves it.
Oh my God.
Look, I mean, I feel like with, I mean, so for Seth MacFarlane, can
I
want
to sing the hits of Nelson Riddle.
Let me ask
Riddle.
You this. What? Does Seth MacFarlane work for people because you're a fan of him and everything he does people will like if you're a fan of Family Guy? Or is it more like you where you go, hey, Seth MacFarlane does some good stuff sometimes and some of his stuff is garbage?
Well, it's weird. Because I like the Orville. But
sure, okay.
If you tried to, you'd have to tape me down with duct tape and pry my eyeballs open to watch that American Dad.
Well, I liked the movie Ted.
Right, sure.
I thought Ted was funny. Not the guy that's on the show. No, I like the guy that's on the podcast, too. But I liked the movie Ted. And but I, as a guy who really doesn't like Family Guy or his other stuff. So I like Ted. I didn't see Ted 2. I didn't like it that much to watch Ted 2 because nobody liked Ted 2.
Well,
but I thought Ted was funny. So, I agree with you. And again, that's my, I don't, you know, there's very few people who I go, I'm going to watch or listen to everything you do, and I'm going to like it automatically. I'm not that person. And you could say, oh, you like everything Springsteen does. No, I don't. You know, I
mean, like, there's people like, okay, Dana Gould.
Okay.
I like his stuff.
Yeah, okay.
He did a show called Stan versus Evil that was fun.
Yeah.
Just had its last season, but there's people I'm going to.
Needed more Groban.
Yes.
Okay.
I like Simon Pegg, but I don't like everything Simon
Pegg. Simon Pegg's makes some clever.
Everything he does I haven't liked, but you know, whatever.
Well, you've got to decide if you're going to see this wrestling movie
that
is made by all your heroes.
What?
Fighting With My Family.
Oh.
It's, it's Ricky Gervais's guy made it.
Oh. Stephen Merchant?
Stephen Merchant made it. And it looks terrible. But
I don't like
everything.
By the way, I don't like everything
those
guys
do. It's Stephen Merchant and Nick Frost. Nick Frost is in it.
Oh, well.
But, I'm kind of, and my girlfriend's like, what's about wrestling? You're going to like this. And I go, this looks terrible. And then I'm like, oh, Stephen Merchant made it. Maybe it's good. So I don't know.
I like some of the Stephen Merchant
stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, you like some Ricky Gervais stuff.
And then I don't like a lot of the Ricky.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I hated the one with the retards and the whole thing, and the midget one wasn't great either.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Retards, midgets. These are title tracks from Eddie Murphy. These are songs on Eddie Murphy.
Should we go out on some Eddie Murphy?
We should have gone out 20 minutes ago.
Well, aside from that.
Oh, man.
Hold on a second. I'm gonna look up some Eddie Murphy here on my music.
Oh, great.
Well, why not?
Wait, you know what? Boogie in Your Butt.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Oh, if I can't find faggots from his comedy album.
I think you can find them on the internet.
Well, no. I mean, I think if I can find it.
Find LGBTQ, M, whatever numbers and letters are we adding to the end of that now?
XYZ.
Yeah. What? I want to be, a props.
Well, I've got his... I got to find his albums because... Now, do you want... I believe it's Eddie Murphy. All right, here it is. I'm going to play this for you. He has to come out to the audience. So this is Eddie. You tell me when you're offended, Corey. This is from the Eddie Murphy album called Eddie Murphy. By the way, how gay does Eddie look on the cover of the Eddie Murphy? He's got a bow tie with no shirt and a flower in his hair.
By the way, this was years before Eddie Murphy was picked up a transvestite hooker. Yes.
Calm down, I ain't even say shit yet.
Sexual.
You're out there clapping your ass off. I might not even be funny. Y'all believe it? This motherfucker wasn't even funny. I'm doing all this clapping and shit and I ain't even laughing. Just calm down. Huh? You be quiet. Take it all off. What, you a faggot?
Hey-o.
I don't want to offend homosexuals. If there are any homosexuals, I don't want to offend y'all. Are there any homosexuals in the audience? No? Good. Let's talk about them.
I discovered.
I bother them when I'm with my friends. You're playing with your friends, you know.
That I believe Eddie Murphy Delirious is not. It's not this faggots track that we're listening to is not the one where he says, I keep moving so faggots don't look at my ass. That's a whole different special.
Oh, God.
I didn't realize that. But I've also realized that this is going to be the cover shot for the website today. Well, for this spot,
look how beautiful
where it
Eddie
says
looks.
Faggot oh, as the track title. And then
I mean, we've really offended everyone.
Do I gotta find
everyone.
That one?
Well, yeah. No, but let's close on some Boogie in Your Butt.
Boogie in Your Butt. All right. So that is on Eddie Murphy. Oh, no. Well, there's... Okay, so the track... Okay, the one that's Delirious is Eddie Murphy Comedian Live... Which, and the opening track of this, Corey, is not, is this is called Faggots Revisited. I'm not making that up. This is Faggots Revisited.
Oh, he went back to the subject.
Yes, he went back. Oh, Faggots,
hey you.
Faggots was so popular. This is the sequel to Faggots.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Too much. Too kind.
Great job, Ed.
Before I even get started,
real stellar material.
Say, how about big round of applause for the Bus Boys?
Yeah, this is Eddie Murphy. This is the TV special was Eddie Murphy Delirious. This is the audio of that. That was Eddie Murphy Comedian Live.
And get some rules. I got some rules when I throw down. When I do my stand-up, I got rules and shit. Straight up. Old people that get offended easily, y'all should just get the fuck out now.
So. All right. That.
I do some nasty shit while I'm up here. And if you brought your kids down and thought I'd be up here with the buckwheat wig on, you wouldn't have sworn a motherfucking surprise.
So at this point, he's already SNL famous. Probably has made 48 hours. And
I don't do none of that Saturday Night Live shit in concert. If you want to see that shit, watch it at home for free. If you paid to see it, you a stupid motherfucker.
I kind of like this beginning of this interview.
But listen how over here.
Yeah, he's big pop.
Also, faggots aren't allowed to look at my ass while I'm
there. You go.
That's why I keep moving while I'm up here. So if you don't know where the faggot section is, you got to keep moving.
There's a section for it.
So if they do see it, it's quick and you switch it. They don't get no long stare at your shit and start having imagination flowing on my, about my. I know what you're looking at too, because my ass get hot. I'm afraid of gay people. Petrified. I have nightmares about gay people. I have this nightmare that I go to Hollywood and find out that Mr. T is a faggot. Really, and he'd be walking up to people going, "Hey, boy. Hey, boy. You look mighty cute in them jeans."
You know, you got me there.
Now come on over here and fuck me up the ass. Come on. I'm gonna bend over now.
A joke that could only exist in 1983. Mr.
T. Slow down. You're gonna mess around and come too fast. Made me get mad. I'll clench up my butt cheeks and rip your dick off.
All right, so.
Wow.
All right, everybody, let's start.
Listen to the audience.
They're roaring.
Rapturous.
Unbelievable.
At that.
Unbelievable. These hacky gay jokes.
Look, the Mr. T stuff got me a little bit.
I was a little pick me up for you, Corey, as we say goodbye. All right.
Well, the Super Bowl sucked so
hard. Yes.
And it kind of made me think the whole country is bankrupt and sucks.
They
that
say
bad.
The Super Bowl is a thumbnail of what's going on in
American
the country.
American culture 2019 can put the Super Bowl in your butt.
Hey, I ain't putting no boogie in nobody's butt. That's nasty, man.
New England Patriots in your butt.
People's butt. You out your mind or something? Yeah, we're doing something.
We really did something.
Well, I'm a friend. I've been doing it for years. I say, sit on down, open your eyes, and open up your ears. Say, put a tree in your butt. Put a bubble bee in your butt. Put a clock in your butt. Put a big rock in your butt. Say, put some fleas in your butt. Say, stop to sneeze in your butt. Say, put a tin can in your butt. Put a little tiny man in your butt. Say, put a light in your butt. Say, make it bright. In your butt, say, put a TV in your butt. Say,
you know, he was so popular, no one could tell him this was a bad idea.
Yeah, my fourth grade nephew would think it was the funniest thing he's ever
had.
It's
like he wrote this in 10 seconds. You know?
By the way, nothing gay about this, is it?
Oh, he's had a tiny man in his butt. I'm sure. Not sure he's
it was Emmanuel Lewis.
I ain't putting no trees in nobody's butt, no bees.
Emmanuel Lewis
butt.
And Eddie.
But no, you must be out your mind, man. Do y'all get paid for doing this? Because y'all got to get some.
It's
kind
the
of
same
money,
album that has faggots.
Kinda,
if you're looking
golf,
to buy one, Eddie, not butt. Faggots Revisited, the original faggot.
The OG.
The original faggot.
The original.
He's like Pink Floyd.
The 100%.
You want another brick in the wall, part two. That's the one you know. Not
unbelievable. This guy was the biggest comic in the world.
All right, let's get out of here. We're going to say goodbye. Corey, where are you going to be doing comedy?
I'm going to be doing all the title tracks on Eddie Murphy Delirious over at Sellerman's. No, I'm going to be at the Comedy Council 21st.
Yeah, you're there with
Sam Morrill?
Sam Morrill's awesome, by the way. If you've never seen Sam Morrill, I saw him a couple years ago at the club, and he was fantastic. So Sam Morrill and Corey come to the Comedy Castle. It's the end of this month, so come to that. That'll be real good. You can see me at the Comedy Castle February 20th. It is my class showcase, Advanced Comedy Class Showcase. I'll be closing that out. And then my new comedy class starts February 23rd on Saturday at 12:30. It's for advanced students, people that have been doing comedy for a little while. I would love to teach Eddie Murphy about comedy, but apparently
he's
retired.
In his butt, and it's
I can't go back to 1982. And tell him not to make boogie.
What about all the things he's putting in his butt, Joel?
That seems unhygienic. I think in 82, People stop putting things in their butt. Yeah, I mean, by the way, I know you didn't see Bohemian Rhapsody, but this is the end credit song. Did you know that? Did you know that Freddie did a version of this?
How dare you?
He agreed with the whole putting things in your butt thing. Yeah.
How dare you?
All right, we're going to say goodbye. We'll catch you next time. The big movie show is next week, the next podcast anyway. Wow. We're going to do our Oscar picks. We're going
to
do
gold
everything.
Standard we said here.
Well, I tell you this. It is traditionally the most popular episode of the year. So that'll be the next Roll Radio, our big movie review. I got movies to watch. We're going to end this and go do that. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Boogieing in your butt in 2 weeks. We'll see you then.
Well, I'm tired.
Eh?
Wore out.
You too tired to boogie?
I'd like some Pepsi, not Coke.
Well, go out with... You and Liam Neeson go outside and find...
Listen, I'm going to find that black bastard, Eddie Murphy. And I'm going to beat him to death because he... Apparently.
The song's literally over.
He boogied in my butt.
I'm not fading it out. It's
See, what
just
happened
ending.
Was Eddie Murphy boogied in the butt of a woman I knew. And I wanted to go out and strangle a black bastard. He said this in an interview. Like, the guy,
he's
reporter's
not,
sitting there with with the phone taping the thing.
His wife died. She hit her head skiing. Well, come on, give the guy a break. Give the guy a break.
Do we give Eddie...
Go watch Chloe, by the way.
Do we give Cher a break?
He does some wacky
Bono
stuff.
Died the same way?
I gotta go.
Okay.
Good night.